This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. جزاكم الله خيرا for coming to the halaqa tonight, and today inshallah we'll be talking about silat al-rahim, keeping the ties of kinship, taking care of our family members. Who are the family members that we have to keep good ties with them, and what is the excellence of this act of ibadah? It is an act of ibadah. What did the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah say about them? Before we talk about this subject, I would like to tell you about a story that happened to Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq used to spend money on one of his cousins. He used to support him financially on a regular basis. And when Aisha Ummul Mu'mineen, the daughter of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhuma, and the beloved wife of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the mother of the believer, when she was accused or falsely accused of committing the illegal sin, the same cousin that used to receive financial support from Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was involved in spreading rumors about Aisha radiallahu anha. And I want you to put yourself in his shoes, in Abu Bakr's shoes. Put yourself in his position. The man that used to spend money on him, support him with your money, and support his family for a long time, is now attacking the honor of your own daughter. When Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu knew about it, when he was informed about it, that this man, his cousin, is involved in spreading these rumors about his daughter, he decided to stop his financial support. He decided to stop supporting him. And I think this is the least he could do at that time, right? And you just think about anyone else, he would do the same. He would do the same thing. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after a while, He revealed some verses in Surah An-Nur, inviting Abu Bakr or encouraging him. And there are some other Muslims too, who used to spend on some Muslims, and those Muslims were involved in this incident, spreading rumors about Aisha radiallahu anha, and they decided to stop spending or helping these people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah, وَلَا يَأْتَلِ أُولُو الْفَضْلِ مِنْكُمْ وَالسَّعَ أَنْ يُؤْتُوا أُولُو الْقُرْبَى أَوْ أُولِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَالْمُهَاجِرِينَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَنْ يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah An-Nur, He said, let not those of virtue and wealth among you. Abu Bakr was a man of noble character, noble lineage. He had a good reputation. He was the best friend of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was a merchant, so he had some financial means, radiallahu anhu. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here in this ayah, let not those of virtue and wealth among you swear not to give aid to their relatives, because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about his relative. His relative is His cousin is included in this ayah. والمساكين, and because they are needy too, they need help from the community. And المهاجرين, and those who immigrated for the sake of Allah, because these people were among those who immigrated from Mecca. They left the city of Mecca to Al-Madinah. So they got this sifat, but they committed this mistake or this sin. And it is a grave sin. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in this ayah, and let them pardon, forgive, and you overlook their mistakes. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Would you not like it if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive your sins, that Allah forgives your sins? وَاللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمٌ. Allah is the most merciful and the most gracious. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is reminding Abu Bakr about the second option, or the better of two options. That yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows that Abu Bakr is a human being. And he has the right to be upset. He has the right to be offended. These people were attacking the honor of his daughter. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not harsh and severe in this ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to, is saying, yeah, I understand that you are offended, but there is a better option. There is a better way of dealing with these people. It's better if you forgive and you forget and you give them, you keep giving them. So when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu heard about this ayat, he said, Bala, uhibbu Allahu an yaghfira, uhibbu an yaghfira Allahu li dhanbi. He said, certainly I would love that Allah forgives my sins. And then he resumed spending on his cousin and his family. There is another story that took place at the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but we don't know the name of the man. So he came to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he said, "Ya Rasulullah, inna li qarabatan asiluhum wa yaqta'uni wa uhsinu ilayhim wa yusi'una ilayya wa ahlumu alayhim, yani asbiru alayhim wa yajhaluna alayya." Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "In kana haqqan ma taqul, in kana كما قلت فكأنما تسفهم الملة." Then he said, ولا يزال معك من الله ظهير عليهم ما دمت على ذلك. And this hadith is in Sahih Muslim. Most of the hadith in this halaqa, inshallah, are in Bukhari and Muslim. Yani authentic hadith, most of them. So here Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, or a man actually came to the Messenger of Allah, and he said, I have some relatives. I try my best to have a close relationship with them. And I am sure that maybe every one of us in this halaqa, in this place tonight, is having the same problem or dealing with similar situation. These problems are very common nowadays, especially nowadays. And you find a family member who is nice and kind to his relatives, but he's not receiving the same treatment. Now, I want you to pay attention to what Rasulullah SAW said to this man. So he said, I try my best to have a close relationship with them. I treat them well, they treat me ill. He said, I am sweet and nice to them, but they are harsh. I am patient to them, but they insult me. So Rasulullah SAW, he said, if what you say is true, then you are like someone who is shoving hot sand in their mouths or on their faces. كَأَنَّمَا تُسِفُّهُمُ الْمَلَّ. And then he said, there would always remain with you an angel from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala extending his support to you as long as you remain on this path. Pay attention to the statement of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He's encouraging him to remain on this path, to treat them the same way. Treat them the same way. Do not change your behavior with them. And then you will receive support from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and his angels. In another hadith that is in Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysa al-wasilu bil-mukafi', walakin al-wasil alladhi idha quti'at rahimuhu aw qata'at rahimuhu riwayatan wasalaha." So in this hadith he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the one who maintains good ties with his family, with his relatives, just because they maintain, you know, good ties with him, is not someone who is like, he's not perfectly maintaining the ties of kinship, doing Salat al-Rahim. Because he's someone who is returning the favor. But the one who truly and perfectly upholds the ties of kinship is the one who keeps doing it even if when they break it off with them, when they break the ties of kinship with him, other people, other family members, they break the ties of kinship with him, but he keeps on doing the same thing. Then this is the man who is truly and perfectly keeping the ties of kinship. And that's why based on this hadith, you know, it's obvious from this hadith that the one who is doing it this way, who is behaving with his family members in this way, and he keeps on treating them the same way, he's doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's not paying attention to whether his rights are observed or not. He doesn't care if they return the favor to him or not. So he's doing it obviously for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He's looking for al-ajr and al-thawab, right? That's why al-ulama they classified people into three types or three categories. We have al-wasil, al-mukafi', al-qati', qati' al-rahim. So now you need to look at yourself and which class and which category you find yourself. Al-wasil is the one who keeps on keeping the ties of kinship, upholding the ties of kinship with his family members and relatives, even if they do not return the favor to him. If they don't treat him the same way, he keeps on doing it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and this is al-wasil. And al-mukafi' is the one who returns the favor. If they visit him, he will visit them. If they don't, he doesn't do it. If they call him, he would call. If they don't, he doesn't call. If they give him a gift and come and attend his wedding, for example, or share with him happy occasions, he would go and do them. He would go and do the same thing. He would return the favor, basically. This is al-mukafi' in Arabic. And he will be in the safe side if he does it for the sake of Allah. If he, مثلاً, looks at it this way, he said, مثلاً, I know my family members are nice to me, they are kind. يعني حرام, it's not nice if I have to return the favor for the sake of Allah. If he does it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah he will be in the safe side. Al-qati' al-rahim, the one who is treated nicely, treated with kindness, but he doesn't return this kindness. He doesn't treat his family members well. This is قاطع الرحم. ورسول صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا يدخل الجنة قاطع رحم. A very strong warning from Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم. He said, the one who severs the ties of kinship does not enter paradise. لا يدخل الجنة قاطع رحم. So صلة الرحم is very important, يا إخوان. Now, the importance of keeping the ties of kinship, if we look at the Quran, some ayat, in Surah An-Nisa, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would connect between Tawheed, which is Ibadatullah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any shirk, would establish a connection between this great Ibadah, which is the foundation of Islam, Tawheed, and between taking care of parents and family members. وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَبِذِي الْقُرْبَى. He mentioned some other people, the neighbors and the masakeen, the needy in this ayah. But he started first with parents and the wil qurba, who are relatives. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this ayah said, worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is one of the main duty in Islam. And associate none with him subhanahu wa ta'ala. And be kind to parents and to relatives. And then he mentioned other types of people like the needy and the neighbors and the orphans. In a famous hadith in Sahih al-Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man kana yu'minu billahi wal yawm al-akhir falyasil rahimahu." And whoever believes in Allah and the last day, then he should keep or uphold the ties of kinship. Which means that if you really believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you are expecting to meet him on the day of judgment, then you have or you must uphold the ties of kinship, because you will be asked about them. In a different hadith, and there are some ulama, they said it could be a figurative speech, it could be an angel that talked on behalf of silat al-rahim or kinship. But in this hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Inna Allah khalaqa al-khalqa, hatta idha faragha min khalqi qamat al-rahim, faqalat hadha maqamu al-a'idhi bika min al-qati'a." Faqala na'am, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So it was a conversation between silat al-rahim. I will explain this hadith, which is kinship, and between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَمَّا إِنْتَهَى اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى مِنْ خَلْقِهِ قَالَتْ قَامَتِ الرَّحِمِ فَقَالَتْ هَذَا مَقَامُ الْعَائِذِ بِكَ مِنَ الْقَطِيعَ قَالَ نَعَمْ أَمَا يُرْضِيكِ أَنْ أَصِلَ مَنْ وَصَلَكِ وَأَقْطَعَ مَنْ قَطَعَكِ قَالَتْ بَلَى قَالَ فَذَلِكَ لَكِ يعني استجيب طلبك. في هذا الحديث رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the creation, and when he had finished, he said the kinship stood up. Now we're talking about kinship, is keeping the ties of kinship. Silat al-Rahim is a concept. It's not a creation. It's not a human being. It's not something that talks, right? But here, the hadith said the kinship stood up and said. So some ulama, they said it could be a figurative speech. It could be a malak, an angel that talks on behalf of the the kinship. The other possibility, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do all things. We know that on the Day of Judgment He will create, He will make death into the shape of an animal, and it will be slaughtered. That means people will stay forever, no one will die. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to make Silat al-Rahim into a being, you know, and give, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to give it the power to talk and speak. So in this hadith, she said, or it said, this is the standing of the one who seeks protection or refuge with you from being cut off. And Rasulullah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, yes, would it not please you if I were to, you know, take care of those who take care of you and cut off those who cut you off? It's a very dangerous hadith, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, while talking to Ar-Rahim, would it please you if I were to take care of those who take care of you? If someone takes care of Silat al-Rahim, Allah will take care of him. If someone neglects Silat al-Rahim, this ibadah or this duty, then he will be neglected. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will neglect him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not take care of him. So it said, of course, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your prayer is granted, or your prayer is accepted. And this hadith is in Bukhari and Muslim. Now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in different hadith or different to a hadith, he made this ibadah or upholding the ties of kinship as a reason for entering into paradise. So there was a man who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and said, أَخْبِرْنِي بِعَمَلٍ يُدْخِلُنِي الْجَنَّةِ. Tell me about a deed that will take me into paradise. They were very, sincere and eager to go into Jannah. They were always, the Sahaba, asking about what would take them into paradise. This is a very common question among the community of the Sahaba. So Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, تَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ لَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا تُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَتُؤْتِ الزَّكَاةَ وَتَصِلُ الرَّحِيمُ. So he mentioned four things. He said, you worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone without ascribing any partner to Him. You establish the prayer, you pay the zakat, and you uphold the ties of kinship. When he moved to a city, to the city of Medina, the famous story, I mentioned this famous story before, Abdullah ibn Salam, who was a Jewish scholar at that time, and he wanted to know our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when he just arrived to the city of Medina, he went looking for him alayhi salatu wasalam, and he wanted to meet him and listen to him and talk to him. So he made a statement, when I looked at him, I knew that his face was not the face of a liar. And then he said, it appears to me, or it seems to me, that these are the first words that he uttered, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam, wa at'imu at'am, wa silu al-arham, wa sallu. He mentioned four things. Wa sallu bil-layli, wa nasu niyam, tadkhulu al-jannata bisalam. Ya ayyuhan nas, afshu salam. Spread, O people, spread the message of peace. At'imu at'am, feed, give food to people, or feed the needy, the poor and the needy. This is number two. Silu al-arham, uphold the ties of kinship. And pray at night while people are sleeping, you go into paradise in peace. Of course, there's something amazing about this hadith. I think I talked about it before. Something amazing, because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a refugee, someone who was fleeing Mecca, about to be killed or captured and returned to Mecca. People were looking for him. Soldiers, Meccan soldiers, were looking for him, about to kill him, right? And he's leaving the city of Mecca. His companions were tortured. He left some of his family members there. Situation is not very pleasant, right? And making a trip of 3 days or 4 days between Mecca and Medina. And then when he reached Medina, he left an enemy who was behind him. They were behind him trying to kill him, right? What is amazing about this story, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not thinking about them at all, sorry. He did not mention his enemies, which means that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't have any ego there was no place for ego in his life, alayhi salatu wasalam. Because if you put anyone in his place, he would be talking about his enemies. He would be talking about their situation in Mecca, what happened to them in Mecca. He'd be talking maybe about future plans, how to deal with their enemies in Mecca. But Rasulullah ﷺ did not mention the Meccans, did not talk about them at all. This is the first thing that he said based on the narration of Abdullah ibn Salam radiallahu anhu. So, and that's why Abdullah ibn Salam accepted Islam. He was a Jewish scholar and he accepted Islam after that. So anyway, in this hadith Rasulullah ﷺ made upholding the ties of kinship as a reason to go to Jannah, inshallah. Nas'Allah nij'alana min ahli Jannah. What are the benefits of keeping the ties of kinship? What are the benefits? Number one, the ulama, they said, earning the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, be saved from hellfire and entering Jannah. This is the first, benefit. The second one, they said, enhancing social ties and empowering individuals. When someone is surrounding with his family members, whenever he's facing a problem or a challenge, or is dealing with something, then he would find his cousins surrounding him and his family members. He feels empowered. It's not like someone who lives here, مثلاً, in this land, for example, and he's alone, no family member around him. I get this feeling sometimes when I talk to some families, I deal with some issues. And sometimes the first thing that is mentioned, especially by women, I am alone here. I have no brother. I have no father. You have no. You want to earn your sympathy. Huh? This is the introduction. I have no father. I have no brother. I have no cousins. I am alone here. But it is a difficult situation. If you want to look at it from a human perspective, it is a very difficult situation. Even for tough men. When he finds himself, even if we're talking about man, now forget about woman now. Find yourself alone in a country with no help, no helpers, no family members around. You feel like weak, you are in a very difficult situation. But if someone is surrounded with his cousins and family members and friends, he feels empowered. So the ulama, they said, this silat rahim will empower individuals. Receiving the blessings of increased wealth, and the extension of your lifespan. And this was mentioned in the hadith. Hadith sahih, muttafaqun alayh. Man sarrahu an yubsata lahu fi rizqih wa an yunsa'a lahu fi ajalih, falyasil rahimahu. He said, whoever would like to his provision to be in this world to be increased, and for his lifespan to be extended, then let him uphold the ties of kinship. If you do it, you see the barakah in your life. You see it. And those who are spending with their family members and giving them zakat, they feel it. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Everyone has his own personal, experience. But if you do it, if you follow the nasiha of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you will find those blessings and those, in your life. And the opposite is true. If someone is not treating his parents well, Allah, you will see it in this life before the day of judgment. The opposite is true. Number four, they said the one who does it will earn Allah's protection from against calamities and serious troubles. We got it from the story of Khadija radiallahu anha. What is amazing about it, Khadija made their statement before she became a Muslimah. After Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam met Jibreel for the first time. And he was shaky and afraid. He came back to Khadija and he said, Zammiluni, Zammiluni, or Dathiruni, Dathiruni, cover me, cover me. First time he met Jibreel alayhi salam, he didn't know, he was afraid, he was scared. It's normal, right? It's normal. It's a human feeling, human emotions. So here he went back to his wife. When he told her about the story, his story, what happened to him in the cave, and he didn't understand really that it was Angel Jibreel who came to him, and at that time he was clueless, alayhi salatu wasalam. Later on he found out that he became the messenger of Allah, and the creature that came to him in the cave was Jibreel. But after he told her, she made a statement, and she was so confident about this statement. Even though we're talking about people who lived at the time of Jahiliyyah. They were not Muslims. Khadija was not a Muslim lady at that time, radiyallahu anha. She said, "Kalla la yukhzika Allahu abadan." Kalla, nay, Allah will never disgrace you. And Allah will never humiliate you. Talking to her husband, and she mentioned the reasons, a list of qualities that he had, alayhi salatu wasalam. And the first quality, innaka latasilu rahim. You truly uphold the ties of kinship. This is the first quality. And then she said, وَتَصْدُقُ الْحَدِيثِ. And you speak the truth. وَتَحْمِلُ الْكَلَّ. And you help the weak. وَتُكْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومَ. And you support the destitute. Yani the one who is in need, who is facing some difficulties. And then she said, وَتُقْرِ الضَّيْفَ. And you honor your guest. وَتُعِينُ عَلَى نَوَائِبِ الدَّهْرِ. And you extend your help at times of difficulty and hardship. So she mentioned his akhlaq and his qualities before he became a prophet. And she was so confident that Allah will never disgrace him, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never humiliate him because of these akhlaq, these qualities. And the first thing on this list is silatul rahim, which is upholding the ties of kinship. It was an established knowledge in their community that the one who has these qualities will not be disgraced by God, by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You tell me, I mean, they are not Muslims. How come they are talking about Allah? What is the answer? Could you tell me the answer? Millat, they inherited this knowledge about Allah from the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam. They were the descendants of Ismail, the people of Mecca, and the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they had some knowledge about Allah. You know, that's why some non-Muslims, when they knew that people, the Arabs used to talk about Allah, and they had some knowledge about Allah before Islam, he came up with a story. He said, actually, Allah is one of the pagans that they were surrounding the Kaaba. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam only had to neglect and eliminate all the other idols. One of the idols around the Kaaba. Muhammad had only to eliminate the other idols, and he kept and he saved one idol, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They didn't have knowledge that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the descendants of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And at that time they had knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created this universe. طيب, how do we observe this ibadah, ya ikhwan? The ulama, they said, you know, this ibadah could be observed and fulfilled by doing many things. Number one, visiting your relatives. It's very important. If they live with you in the same town, you visit them. I mean, if they are in a different country, wala, in a different town, wala, it could be an excuse, an accepted excuse, if you do not visit them. But at least, if you don't have a strong relationship or close relationship, at least you visit them during the times of Eid, for example, or during the times of happy occasions, or a time of death. Wallahu alam. You try to organize your relationship with your cousins, with your relatives, in a way that should be pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Accepting their invitation. If they invite you, don't accept their invitation, and you refuse and you come up with excuses all the time, they will feel offended, right? I mean, they might forget you for the first time, second time, third time. But if you keep coming up with excuses and you don't accept their invitation, they will feel that there is something wrong with you. Sharing with them happy occasions, for example, or being a source of comfort at a time of sorrow and sadness. Calling them to ask about their affairs, if you don't have time to visit or they live in a different area. So it's enough to call them time to time, or during the times of Eid or Ramadan. Honoring their elders. If you meet an elder among your relatives, so you honor him, you show him respect, you treat him with respect. Showing mercy to the young ones and the weak members of the family. Giving gifts, invite them to your house. Offering your sincere nasiha. You're supposed to offer your sincere nasiha to another brother who is not relative, who is not related to you. How about someone who is related to you, if he comes to you seeking a sincere nasiha about anything, then you have to offer your sincere nasiha, and it is one of their rights. Making dua for them. Making dua for them is very important. Even if you are not able to give them money, you're not able to give gifts, making dua is something very nice, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate this act of ibadah. Giving sadaqah to those who are in need among them. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "As-sadaqatu 'ala al-miskini sadaqa wa 'ala dhir-rahim ithnatani sadaqatun wa sila." هذا الحديث صححه الإمام الألباني رحمة الله عليه. So he said, giving a charity to a poor person, it's a charity, is an act of charity. But giving a charity to a relative is a charity and also an act of fulfillment towards the ties of kinship. So you'll be keeping the ties of kinship, doing silat al-rahim by giving sadaqah or giving zakat to your family members. My nasiha, my advice, when you calculate your zakat and you want to give zakat, think about your family members first. Who among them is in need? Your brothers, your sisters, your uncles, your aunts. If someone is in need, then your reward, when you give them your zakat, you will be rewarded from both ways. Yani the act, you get reward for giving the zakat or sadaqah, and you'll be rewarded for keeping the ties of kinship. Purify your hearts from any feelings of resentment. This is very difficult for many people, but if you work on it, then you will achieve, inshallah, this state of purification, having pure heart, no feelings, no hard feelings towards family members. You tell me, you know, they are rude to my family, they're spreading rumors against my family, they did this to my mother, they did this to my father, they never showed us any respect. I hear these stories all the time. But I'll tell you, you are responsible on the Day of Judgment about your actions. And they are responsible, they will be asked about their actions. If you treat them well, they treat you ill, then it's their problem. You do it for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that should be enough for every Muslim. I know it's difficult, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting you as a Muslim to always choose the best of two options. And sometimes the second option is not an option. Like when we talked about the case of Abu Bakr, he was supporting him on a regular basis, and it seems like it was not zakat. It's a sadaqah. But sadaqah is voluntary, it's not an obligatory, right? Is not an obligatory act of ibadah or charity. He could have stopped, right? But Abu Bakr wanted to receive, you know, the ajr and the thawab and the maghfirah and the rahmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he went against his own nafs and said, no, I love that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives my sins. And he forgave his cousin, and he kept, you know, spending on him. Number, and the last one, these are examples. There are many ways. There are many ways. Yani the urf here is taken into consideration. People have different customs into keeping in touch with their, when it comes to keeping in touch with their relatives and cousins. They have different ways. They have different celebrations, different gatherings, different, you know. But this, in general, these are 10 or 11 points. The ulama, they said, adopt an attitude of forgiveness and reconciliation all the time. Even if your rights are not observed, even if they take some properties from you, this life is not worth it. This life is short, and you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you will be a happy person if you follow the instructions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَيْسَ الْوَاصِلُ بِالْمُكَافِئِ وَلَكِنْ وَاصِلُ الَّذِي يَصِلُ رَحِمَهُ الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِعَتْ رَحِمُهُ وَصَلَهَا. You know, when there his family members are not keeping the ties of kinship, is the time when you actually keep the ties of kinship with them. And this is the definition of al-wasil in the hadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, the one who perfectly keeps the ties of kinship. Now, what are the reasons of severing the ties of kinship? The ulama have mentioned many reasons. Number one is ignorance. And ignorance is number one enemy. People don't know the virtues and the excellence of keeping the ties of kinship. Or many people, they think that being good Muslim, it's enough. To be a good Muslim, it's enough to perform your 5 daily prayers, give zakat, and do the fasting in Ramadan, and that would be enough. or having a beard and wearing a qamis or a thub and using the siwak, and that would be enough. Praying in the first line or first row in the masjid, coming to the masjid all the time, that would be enough. This is enough. No, this is not enough. Treating your family members, treating other people with respect, having good akhlaq, good manners with family members, with other people, is part of our deen. So, and it is an act of ibadah. So the ignorance here is the main factor in for many people to neglect, you know, this ibadah. Lack of taqwa, number two, the ulama, they said, someone who doesn't have taqwa, he doesn't fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He doesn't care about his salah, zakat, siyam, so he doesn't care about his family members. You tell him about silat al-rahim, who cares? These people don't deserve anything. They are mean, they are not nice, they are not, and then they start coming up with excuses, putting the blame on them. This is one of our problems, and I kept talking about it. I talked about it today in the Friday khutbah, putting the blame on other people all the time, trying to relieve yourself all the time from the responsibility. No, when it comes to this issue, it is your responsibility to make that extra step to reach to your family members. Even if they are not nice, they're not practicing, you don't like them, they have a different lifestyle, they are still relatives. And they have huquq, dawil qurba. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned them in the Quran. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned them in his ahadith. Number three, they said the ulama, arrogance. There are some people, when they become rich or they gain a position of authority, they become arrogant and they start looking down at their family members or relatives. And this will lead other people to stay away from them. It will encourage people to stay away from them because they will say, you know, I don't feel comfortable being around that person. He keeps on talking about his achievement arrogantly and trying to put down other people. I don't feel comfortable at all sitting down with him or talking to him. Arrogance. And arrogance is a major sin, ya ikhwan. The first sin that Iblis committed was arrogance. What is the dalil in Surah Al-A'raf? قَالَ أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ خَلَقْتَنِي مِنْ نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِنْ طِينٍ. He said, I'm better than him. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala commanded him to obey, to bow to Adam alayhi salam, what was his argument? You created me from fire, you created him from clay, I'm better than him. So this is the first sin that took place at that time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created Adam. Number four, they said, some people have problem with finding the faults of other people. They have this, what is called fault-finding mentality. They always look at the mistakes of other people, and they keep talking about them. And sometimes they face their family members with these mistakes. And they enjoy putting the blame on other family members, and they face them with this problem. So people obviously don't feel comfortable visiting this person, or dealing with him, or having a close relationship with him. And then they will decide to not to have a good relationship with him. So يَتَتَبَّعْ أَخْطَاءَ النَّاسِ. This is a problem. And some people have this problem all the time. They keep talking about mistakes of other people. Excessive joking. Sometimes the ulama that mentioned this, one of the reasons. Some people don't know how to make jokes and the appropriate jokes. And they might hurt other family members with their jokes. And then they will end up cutting the ties of kinship because of this. Because there are people, people who do not, they do not take jokes, they do not accept them, they don't, so you have to be careful when you deal with your family members. If you are in a gathering and you try to make a joke, sometimes you hurt the feelings of one of your family members, and this might lead to this, problems. قَطِيعَةَ الرَّحِيمِ. Al-hasad, which is envy, major sin. And this is very common. You find, family members who started, their life, cousins, who started working at the same time. And one of them, within a short period of time, became rich. And the other one is still struggling with his financial affairs. So you find that this guy would make hasad, will envy the other one. And then the other one will feel, he will know about it, that his cousin is not happy about his achievements. And then the relationship becomes sour, and they start, you know, staying away from each other, and then they stop visiting each other and then talking to each other. Sometimes families, the whole family, stop dealing with the other family, like their brothers and wife and children. These are very common problems in our communities, ikhwan. Al-hasad. Sometimes the hasad is not there, but the person himself is worried about al-hasad. So he's hiding, he likes to hide his not to talk about his plans, his achievements, his how much money he's making, because he's worried. And then the people, when they talk to him, his family members, well, they deal with him, they go and visit him, they don't feel comfortable. Because they feel like he's very secretive, and he's worried about being invited or envied, I would say. And then you don't feel comfortable dealing with him. But al-hasad, it is a problem. It is something real. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talked about it in Surah Al-Falaq and some other surahs. Min sharri hasidin idha hasad. It is a problem. Al-aynu haqq. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the evil eye is true. So it is a problem, but how do we deal with this problem? If someone has the problem of al-hasad, The best way to deal with this problem, if someone feels that he has these feelings of envy in his heart towards the achievements and the properties and of his cousins or their relatives, he should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to increase their wealth, to increase their bounties. If he's not happy and he finds out that he's having these emotions, then the best way is to go against these emotions and make dua for them. Oh Allah, increase their wealth. Increase, give them healthy children. Give them this and that and that. And then as time passes, this problem will be solved. And you find that you become a different person. And you start making dua actually for everyone. You have no hasad in your heart, and you become, at that moment, you become a happy person. Competing over material world, takathur. Takathur and al-hasad here are related. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, al-hakum al-takathur. You're busy with the takathur. Competing to, you know, collect material things. So I have two cars, my neighbor has two cars, and I should have two cars. Our relatives just got new furniture. They just, you know, changed their furniture. They had this furniture for 6 months and they are changing it. Let's do the same thing. A takathur, competition, a competitive mindset. So this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, that you are busy until you visited the graves. And visiting the graves here is not talking about going to visit the cemetery, no. No, it's talking about death. Busy with this competitive, you know, behavior until the time is over, and there is no time to pray or offer, you know, good deeds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala salama wal afiyah. Number 9, they said neglecting the rights of other family members. And you having an occasion and you forget one of the family members, you don't invite him. He might be offended. For example, that's why when you have an occasion, you have to have a list and write them, write the names. And you make sure that you call them, all of them. If you are calling some of them and telling other people to tell family members, tell them, then some of them might feel offended. If you are calling some of them, then call everyone. Try your best. Try your best. And then no one will be offended. Everyone will be happy. Sometimes delaying the division of the inheritance, this is very common. And this will lead to many problems in the family. Delaying the division of inheritance. I know some families who delayed this division for 20 years, 25 years. And the reason could be sometimes because they are not happy with, like they have daughters and they know that their daughters will take from the inheritance. Who will benefit from this inheritance? Their husbands. And they are foreigners. They are not members of the family. So they're not happy with that. Let's keep delaying this division. Till 20 years has passed, and then, or 25 years, I'd create more problems. Sometimes girls, female members in some Muslim countries, in some environments, females and not given the inheritance from the inheritance. And this is a major sin. Whoever is denying them their rights is committing a major sin. He will pay for it on the Day of Judgment. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed for them, for everyone, for every family member in the Quran, his share of the inheritance. And he did not tell us how many rak'ahs in dhuhr in the Quran. He knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knew that we will learn this sunnah from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not going to have any argument about it. We are not going to have any dispute about it. But he knows how much we love money. So when it came to inheritance, he told us, so-and-so will take the third, so-and-so will take the sixth, so-and-so will take half of the inheritance. So he gave us, you know, he mentioned shares with numbers. They are well mentioned in the Quran and the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But people play with these rules. Now, who are these family members who deserve this right or this, you know, who are included in this ibadah? So the ulama, they said, relatives are divided into two types. Al-Rahim al-Muharram wa al-Rahim ghayr al-Muharram. Basically, mahrams and non-mahrams. So what is the definition of mahram relatives? They said each two person who, if they were, one of them was a male and the other one was a female, it would not be permissible for them to get married. These are mahrams. Like parents, like children, like brothers and sisters, like aunts and uncles, so grandparents, these are mahrams. Someone cannot get married with his sister, with his aunt, with his mother, with his grandmother. So these are mahrams. So, and we're talking about males and females. So they have priority here. Some ulama, they said, these are the rahim, that you must have a good relationship with them. You must. It's an obligation to keep good ties with them. And you do it the way you think it will fulfill, inshallah, this obligation. And the other ones, they are first cousins, first and second cousins. Like children of your uncle, children of your aunt. They are not mahrams. Like, it's permissible for you to get married with them if the other person is a female. Or if the person is a woman, the other person is a male. So it's permissible for them to get married. So some ulama, they said, the first category of relatives are the ones that are included in this ibadah. The second group of people, first and second cousins, it's only recommended to have good ties with them. But doesn't sound good. You know, the statement here doesn't sound right. That's why the majority of the scholars, they said all of them are included. This is the opinion of the majority. But if you tell me which one has a priority, which one comes on the top of the list, then the first one, the first group of people, they are mahrams. And which one among the mahrams comes on the top of the list, number one? Could you tell me the answer? Naam? Among the parents? Mothers. Mother is number one. And then the father. And then your brothers and sisters. And your grandparents, of course, are included too. Are included. They might have more rights than brothers and sisters, grandfather and grandmother, because they are like parents. And so on. So uncles and... But the first, the top of the list here, we have the mother. Mothers. That's why Rasulullah ﷺ, when someone came to him and asked him about, who among his family members is more deserving of his kindness? And he said, your mother. He said, then who? He said, your mother. They said, then who? Then your mother, three times. He mentioned his mother three times, and then he mentioned his father. And then he said, الْأَقْرَبُ فِي الْأَقْرَبُ, the closer and then the closer. So then, this group of people, you need to take care of them. Have a good relationship with them. Which means that on Eid, if you decided to call back home your family members, and you have only 1 hour, you don't have time. So you start with these people. And then if you have time, then you go to the second group of people, first and second cousins, and because the other people have more right upon you. Right? Your parents, your brothers, sisters, your grandparents, uncles, and aunts, and so on. Wallahu ta'ala anam. طيب, do you have any question now? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, the brother is saying, how about non-Muslims? Yes, doesn't matter. Treat them well, all of them, because there is a rahim between you and them. Even if they are not Muslims, then you treat them well, yeah, for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the reason here is a rahim, the blood relationship. Yes.
So you have
I know what you mean. This is very common. Families.
Yeah.
Families. No, you are responsible for your deeds. If you have another family member who is included in the first group, like grandparent, aunt, uncle, you should do your part as a Muslim. Regardless. You cannot obey your another family member and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regarding keeping the ties of kinship with another family member. You know what I mean? It's a very sensitive issue, I know. But if you try, if you have, you're dealing with your parents. Parents are telling you, do not keep the ties of kinship with so and so. I know it becomes very sensitive. It's a problem. You are young. You need to obey your parents, but at the same time, you know, if you don't keep good relationship with the other person who is a mahram member of the family, then you will be disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, especially if you treat them ill. Don't treat them well. You cannot do that. But at least if you keep a normal relationship, you don't hurt them. You don't be part of the problem. Don't be part of the problem. See what I'm saying? Don't be a part of the problem. And if you can, as a person, give nasiha to your elders in the family or your parents and remind them about silat al-rahim, then it would be very nice. It's a very common problem, yes. What about your in-laws, mother-in-law, father-in-law? They are not rahim to you, but they are rahim to your wife. So your wife, it's the obligation of your wife to keep good relationship with her mother and her father. But you, if it's part of treating your wife in a good way, to respect her parents. It's not silat al-rahim. You're not upholding the ties of kinship. They're doing something good. You are being kind to your wife by respecting her parents and treating her parents well. And they are, remember, they are the grandparents of your children. So you're still related to them. But they are not rahim. That means, you can have a normal relationship with them. Or you don't have to make that extra step for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because with this group of people I'm talking, you need to make that extra step to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if they are not nice to you, not treating you in a good way. You need, as a Muslim, to make that extra step to work on this relationship. اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ اِدْفَعْ بِالَّتِي هِيَ أَحْسَنْ. You know, treat people in a nice way until the one that you have a sour relationship with, you don't have a good relationship with, he might become a good friend of yours. Because جُبِلَتْ الْقُلُوبِ النُّفُوسِ عَلَى حُبِّ مَنْ أَحْسَنَ إِلَيْهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us this way, that we love those people who keep treating us with kindness. What about your in-laws? I answered this. On the day of judgment, do parents get rewards for their children have done good deeds? Yeah, of course, of course. Especially if you teach them, you give them nasiha, you know, you will reap these rewards, inshallah. You collect these rewards, this hasanat, for teaching your kids to be good Muslims. This is obvious, ya akhwan. I thought this is obvious.
أَدَّالُ عَلَى الْخَيْرِ كَفَاعِلِهِ. نعم. What about if you have a large family from both and you can't keep contact with
them? I know, it is a problem. He said you have a large family member. You start with those, the first group of people, the mahrams, your parents and your sisters and brothers, grandparents, aunts and uncles. And then if you cannot keep in touch with the rest, at least you don't hurt them. Or time to time you try to visit them when you go back home,
time to time try to remember them and call them. You don't have to do it on a regular basis. But at least you don't not neglect the right of those who have priority. Yeah, having a large number of cousins, it's an issue sometimes, it's a problem. Because you cannot call all of them.
Huh? My grandpa has four wives,
each one had 9 kids. Qabila. Tribe, mashallah. Tabarakallah. May Allah bless your family. You try your best. Focus on parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, brothers and sisters. These have priority. But I know what you're saying, yeah. Another question before we close, inshallah. The problem, I think, we solved it in the beginning. The hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The problem when you always expect other people to be nice to you before you expect them to visit them, to visit you so you can visit them, to be kind to you, or if they do a mistake, you don't forgive them and you try to put the blame on them. This is a common behavior nowadays in our community. If we can get rid of this, correct this problem, then everything will be fine. Will be in the safe side. If you can deal with this, go against your desires. Your nafs will tell you, okay, do not show any respect to these people. They don't deserve your respect because they are rude, they are mean, they don't respect your family. They did this and that and that. Sometimes you find like other family members who have taken property from your dad or your family. Well, you have Jannah in one side, and you have this property. You choose between these two things. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate it if you, as I said, you follow the path of Abu Bakr. And just put yourself in the position of Abu Bakr. Because this is not easy. It's not easy, especially in a Muslim community. You know, that someone would come and attack the honor of my daughter. And he was spending on him. On a regular basis. And now he's involved in spreading rumors against my own daughter. Something big. But Abu Bakr, the moment he heard this ayat, he said, no, I would love that Allah would forgive my sins. That's why they were great people, right? That's why Abu Bakr is the best person in this ummah after Rasulullah. You know, we said here, we said they have big hearts. Try to have a big heart. قلب كبير يسع الجميع. So basically this is what we need. To forget and forgive when it comes to our family members. Because إِنَّ كَثِيرًا مِنَ الْخُلَطَاءِ لَا يَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. يعني Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in the Quran, إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. He said only the people of taqwa. So the solution is people of taqwa. He said many people who deal with each other, they interact with each other, they oppress each other. They do injustice against each other. Whether they are business partners, or they are neighbors, or they are family members, they have to deal with each other, right? خُلَطَاء يَبْغِي بَعْضُهُمْ عَلَى بَعْضٍ. They transgress the limits and they oppress each other. إِلَّا الْمُتَّقُونَ. Except the people of taqwa. The people of taqwa will give the due rights, and they will respect the rights of other people, and they will observe the rights of other people, because they are people of taqwa. So when you think about it, actually, when you have a strong relationship with Allah, your iman is very strong, and you always keep about thinking about Jannah, and about the hasanat, the ajr and the thawab, and your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then you will, inshallah, you will be able to overcome these obstacles, these emotions. Where will we have in this society non-Muslims? They got their child, their son killed, or their daughter, and then at the end of, they go to the court and they say, they make statement on behalf of the family. We forgave him. We forgave the killer. Non-Muslims. They don't think about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They don't think of the Jannah. But they said psychologists in this environment or in this culture, they said when you forgive, it's a source of healing. You become actually, you are healing yourself. You are helping yourself. You're relieving yourself from the burden of having these feelings of resentment. Because هذا الحقد والكراهية will hurt you as a human being. If the person keeps on entertaining, you know, these feelings of resentment and hatred and anger, he will actually hurt himself. He will not have a good life. Because he will keep thinking about his enemies, about what they did to him. Will not have a good life. That's why forgiving other people, you become relaxed, actually, and relieved. And this is what we need to do with our family members. And the problem is, I'll finish with this, some brothers and sisters actually admitted this. They admitted this mistake. One brother, he said, when I come to the Jumu'ah, I noticed that I smile to the faces of other people, to other brothers in the community, and I treat them well, try to behave well in the masjid. The moment I go to my house, deal with my family, my wife and children, I become a different person. I don't treat them well. Because you feel like people outside, you need to show them your good side. Smiling and treating them with respect. Oh, these are family members. This is your wife. These are wife. الأقربون أولى بالمعروف. They have more right than other people. Yes, I'm not saying you should be rude to other people outside your house. But your family members have more right than other people. But we find that many actually Muslims, they do the opposite. Said, oh, you understand, you are my husband, you are my wife, you are my child. Keep screaming on your children and screaming, doing that and that and that. But outside, you are that perfect human being who is smiling all the time, treating other people with respect. So this, some people noticed this and they said, you know, this is weird. And I shouldn't be behaving this way because these are my family members. They deserve my respect, my kindness. So this is something that we need to pay attention to, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask us on the Day of Judgment about our relationship with our family members. Jazakumullahu khairan. Subhanakallahumma hamdik shadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullahu khairan.